We're going to be talking about breakthrough tonight, but before we even get into it, could you all stand together with me in the reading of God's Word? That's what we do here at Plus Life, so if you would like to read from the Word of God, just follow up on the screen. Our guys at the back will pull up the right and appropriate verses for tonight's sermon. And before we even do, I want you to look to the person next to you and tell them, march forward. March forward. March forward. All right, so let's get into God's Word. We are in a series right now called New Horizons, and we are going through the book of Joshua. And last weekend we went through chapter 5. Tonight we are going through chapter 6. And this is what God's Word says. Verse 1. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Verse 8. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark, while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice be heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once, and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day they arose early at the dawn of the day, and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in our house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Verse 21. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But to the 2 men who had gone who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Verse 26, Joshua laid an oath on them in that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds the city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful passage. We pray that you will open our eyes to understand breakthroughs that we need in our lives. God, we thank you that you have given us a word today. Help us to understand what it means to march forward. We thank you, God, for being with us. Speak to us now. Be upon my lips. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. And you may be seated. I love this passage of scripture. It's a unique story in how God is saying something powerful for all of us when it comes to the new seasons that we are stepping into in our own personal lives. How many of you guys are enjoying New Horizons so far? Yay, good. Awesome. And that's a good thing because we need to enjoy the messages that God gives us so that our understanding will grow and help us to move forward in the ways that God intends for us to move. And so Joshua chapter 6 is a good passage. I love this passage because I just thought of this joke. I thought it was, I don't know if it's funny, if it's even appropriate, but I thought it'll be cool. You know, if you are single and if your name is Joshua and if you wanted to, you know, get a girl's attention, you could just go up to her and just be like, "Hey, my name is Joshua and I'm going to bring your walls down." But that's not an appropriate thing to say all the time. So I realized that, you know, this message is not a strategy to pick up a girl. Clearly you can tell why I'm still single, so keep praying for me. So I thought I'd just put that in there so that everyone would lighten up the mood a little bit. But let's get serious with the text. What is the text really talking about? I think in all of our lives we have certain walls that are like Jerichos that we need to break through. And I'm going to start from a little mediocre level and let's get a little deeper into that. Let's describe some walls. In a context that we live in, every one of us have some things that we just need to get through. In the new season that God always prepares us and walks us into. Some of us, in a basic level, some of us describe it at financial breakthrough or a relationship breakthrough or an educational breakthrough. Whatever you want to label it, we usually label it at these mediocre kind of things. And the reason why I say mediocre is because we know for sure that if you're a Christian, your life here is not as important. Well, it is important. It is very important. It's very important in the fact that it's going to affect the life that is to come. So even though we describe it in these different areas, we tend to forget that there's more to our Christian life. In fact, what we really need is a spiritual breakthrough, an internal breakthrough. Oftentimes what God needs to break through first, other than our circumstances, is to break through us. I think in the New Testament, Paul talks about some of his greatest barriers against the will of God for his own life as an apostle to the Gentiles, as a messenger of the gospel. He constantly talks about it. But the way he describes it in his letters is even more profound, because he talks about walls that are within him. And we see this in 2 Corinthians verse 10, 3 to 6. This is what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. The strongholds and the arguments, the every lofty opinion sometimes that we formulate in our minds in the seasons that we are living in, are the walls that sometimes God needs us to break through. Some of us are not in a healthy state emotionally, mentally, and that has caused us to be physically impaired to move in a hopeful manner, not a positive. I'm not talking, this is not a positive kind of talk kind of thing. I'm talking hopeful. Hope is something that no one can take away from you if it's really given from God. Yet we struggle in that warfare because we are not aware of the spiritual reality that we are in. So there's two parts to the sermon, and in chapter 6, what you will see that God is going to flesh out from this text. The Holy Spirit will give us the insight. You will see what you must do. But before I can even get into that, we need to go back a little bit into chapter 5. Last week, Pastor Ian spoke a powerful message on supply and demand. It was amazing. Did everyone enjoy it? Did everyone understand certain things about it? If you have any questions, go bug Ian after. He will be glad to help you understand it even more. But last week he also described that this sermon is two-part, because last, we were making the patty, today we're getting the Big Mac sauce. But how many of you had a Big Mac here? Everyone's had a Big Mac? Yes? Okay. Did you guys notice that in the Big Mac sauce, there is relish inside of it? Did you guys know that? No? Nobody pays attention. See, this is the problem. Nobody knows the details of these sauces. Look into the sauce. Today after service, go to McDonald's, get the sauce, open it, put it on a plate, find the relish. Okay? So we're gonna figure out what's inside the sauce. So we gotta go a little bit into chapter 5. In chapter 5, what you're seeing is the foundation of your understanding. I really believe that you need to know how to face the spiritual barriers, the walls within you, by understanding chapter 5 properly. Because if you don't get chapter 5 properly, you can't implement the truths that come from chapter 6 properly. In chapter 5, there are three things happening. In the first part of the text, what you're seeing is a new generation is circumcised. We're not going to talk about circumcision here. I'm just going to talk about the importance of what that meant in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the reason circumcision was important was that outward act that was done on men and boys was to show a symbol of their covenant with God. But that covenant was to say that these people are separated by God and are chosen by God. In the New Testament, you and I are chosen and separated by God in Christ. We are not of this world. You and I are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, chosen by God, treasured by God. That means our devotion, our life is highly devoted to God. Some of us are fighting the wrong battles because we haven't figured out who we belong to. When you understand that you are separated by God, you will know which battles God led you into and God did not lead you into. Some of us are fighting fights that we should have never fought, or we should never be fighting. And some of us are fighting battles that we are not realizing that there's a spiritual reality behind it. And there's a reason why. And that's because in chapter 5, what you're seeing is God has separated a generation for himself. And if you look at it, this is not the set. If you look really into the text, the guys who are really positive about God and the promised land that they're supposed to inherit, they did not make the choice to separate themselves unto God. God made that choice for them. So even in fact, I'm going to give you a deep understanding about your selection in Christ. Scripture says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, for God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's verse 28. Verse 29 says, for you have been predestined to conform to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And carrying on, it says, for whom he has justified, whom he has glorified. So what is that text saying? What it's saying is that God beforehand picked you and selected you to be in his family. So today, even though some of us have made the choice to follow Christ, in Christ, you have been selected way beforehand. God foreknew you, God saw you, and he picked you. You're special. So if anybody ever makes you feel like you're not special, you better remember that truth. So God selects you. In the same way, in the Old Testament, when these guys get circumcised, they are fulfilling a covenant that God made beforehand with Abraham. Today, when we are in Christ, we have made a decision with our heart that I renounce the things of this world, and I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Do you understand this? Do you understand that this mac sauce can only work on this patty, on this foundation? So this is the first thing you got to understand. You're separated unto God. The second thing you see in this passage of chapter 5 is that the children of Israel are celebrating the Passover. And the manna ceases. Ian brought a powerful point last weekend about God's provision being different in different seasons. That is a spiritual insight. And if you don't have your eyes open in that, I pray that tonight God will open your eyes to help you see God has a different way of always moving. He can't write your story like he writes everybody else's story. But in the second part of chapter 5, when they're celebrating the Passover and the manna ceases, what I've understood from the text when reflecting on it, going back again to that same text, is God saying that in Christ, I have already given you everything you need. I am faithful to keep my promises. When the Passover was instituted in the Old Testament, they were about to take a journey out of Egypt. The lamb that was slaughtered on that night and the blood that was shed on the doors posts, so that the angel of death had justified reasons to go and kill everyone who did not have that door marking of the blood of that lamb. In today, what we see is, which we're going to be celebrating in a few moments, which is the communion table, is the broken body and blood of Jesus spilled, covering us and our future forever. Today the angel of death can't overcome us because Christ has died and given us and has covered us in our sin. Today we stand righteous in the presence of God, though we still live in our sinful nature. So understand this truth, that the Passover even then is to say what? You have been saved by God. And that salvation has everything you need to go and walk in and enjoy. Some of us are not possessing the promised land that we have received in Jesus Christ. When the scripture says that you can overcome because he has overcome, we are still struggling with some old sins and old issues and old battles and old mindsets, because we have this truth has to sink in that God has picked us out and he gave his full life to show that kind of love to save us. And then in verse 13 of chapter 5, this is where we see Joshua living in the right context. He's in the right place. This is what it says in chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho. Now he was not in a situation where the battle that he's facing is outside of God's will, it's within God's will. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Isn't that the question all of us have when we go through such a tight place? When we're looking for a breakthrough in a certain area, all of us have this dilemma kind of question. Is God for me or against me? Is he for my enemies or this? And we go into this cuckoo run because we aren't understanding the whole purpose of why Jericho is there in the first place. And we see Jesus doing something in this passage. Jesus comes as the great commander, and he answers Joshua's question in such a unique way, it changes his perspective. What he's saying is, listen, boy, it's not about even you or them. I have come in the name of the Lord. Meaning this whole situation isn't really about where you're at. It's really about where my glory is going to be held in honor. So Jesus comes into the picture in this Old Testament passage. And when Joshua understands that this is more than about me, more than about the children of Israel possessing the promised land, and it's more about God setting in order his plan, that's when he submitted to it. That's when he fell on his face forward. Fell his face onto the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? When you and I battle our issues, internal, external, whatever it is, do you frame it in this context? Do you frame your life in the fact that you are separated unto God by God in Christ? Do you understand that the price that was paid for it was salvation in Christ? Meaning that was a decision Jesus made for you and I years ago. And then understanding those two things, do we understand that the situation we are in, the season that we're in, the battle that we're facing has less to do with us and more to do with God's glory being revealed through the situation? Because when we do, then we can submit. Then we can submit. Okay, so far I've whisked the sauce. Okay? We whisked the sauce. Everyone's got a little fingertip taste? Good, okay. Now we're going to go into chapter 6. Okay? So let's go into chapter 6 now. Now that you've understood that this is how your life is in the context of how to, you know, deal with situations, let's go into chapter 6 and let's see what are some ways we can persevere in our faith for a breakthrough. How do we march forward? Okay? How do we march forward? So in the text, let's read from verse 1. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I know everyone's like, wow, that was a long text, Lord. Oof. We're going to go through it passage by passage. We're going to cut through and we're going to see different things, okay? See, now that, you know, at the end of chapter 5, what we see is Joshua submits to the lordship of Christ and he's about to enjoy the salvation in Christ. Let me say something. When we submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, that's the best way we enjoy our salvation in Christ, okay? There's no other way. And Joshua now knew what position he was in, so
Here's what it says. So in verse 1, this is what it says. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. Before I even go any further, I just want to ask a question. Do your problems feel threatened by you? It's interesting. I know I'm doing a shift in perspective right now, because this whole time we were talking about how our barriers are intimidating us, and we see our life in that kind of framework, and we feel like we need to push through, we need to fight through. But did you ever think that the spiritual reality, that the kingdom of darkness was ever threatened by you? If you have a great calling on your life, you better believe it, that Satan has a bullet aimed towards your head. Every single person in here, if you've been part of the core of Plus Life from the very beginning, you know very clearly that Satan has put a bullseye mark to get you out. So don't give him a foothold. And you don't have to give him a foothold today if you know how to march. Because if your feet is just at the lower level, he has an easy grab. But if you know how to march forward, he can't grab it that easily. So what we see in this text is that Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. There is a threat. Sometimes some of the greatest barriers that are standing in front of you is because God has put a significant calling over your life to fulfill great things for His glory. And they are intentionally warfaring against you. You have to be aware of that. And there are three ways of how that warfare can happen. Supernatural means, through the devil's work and his kingdom of darkness. Through the world around you, through temptation and luring you in by helping you compare your life with your brother and sister in Christ's life, or even with people in the world's life. We don't understand these tactics because we're not paying attention to these things. But tonight I'm giving you these clues because you must understand this. You must understand this, otherwise we can't march forward. And then, of course, our own ignorance. But today we gotta come to a place where we gotta understand that the enemy is not that strong. Because greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. And he's threatened by that. Okay? So, in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Let's scoop down to verse 6. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of rams horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The first thing we should know about persevering in our faith for a breakthrough is that we need an attitude of obedience. We need an attitude of obedience. God gives a very strategic instruction to Joshua. And he tells him, this is what you got to do with the people of Israel. And if you look at that instruction, it's not a simple thing. It's literally like a workout plan. And it's a specific number of teams. Of players in a team. Sorry. Specific players on a team. And he tells them, this is what you have to do. Walk around the wall and blow the trumpet. Has anyone blown a trumpet in here? I know, I think Stephen has blown a trumpet in here. And okay, so people have blown trumpets in here. I correct me if I'm wrong, but is it easy to blow a trumpet? At least modern day trumpet, like, is it easy? I've heard like you got to put something and then really, I sound like an elephant now. But It's not easy. And I don't know what it was like back then. But let's just say, for an example, if God told us to walk around Mississauga and take out your trumpets, get the whole band out, and start blowing a trumpet, half of us are going to be gone. But this was so important. And they did exactly as Joshua instructed them. And Joshua didn't waver in the commandment he gave to the people either. He didn't even give them extra fluff. Neither did he give any little. And that's because we see his faithfulness in chapter 1. Where it says, do not turn to the left, do not turn to the right, but keep your mind fixed on the law of the Lord. Meditate upon it day and night. So he's going exact. His obedience is trickling down to the people of Israel. Can I tell you something? If you're in a place of influence and you're leading a group of people, we always resemble a model of that leadership towards the people that we work with. So keep a check with your own life. So these guys do it. And what do? They went forward. An attitude of obedience. Do you and I have an attitude of obedience when it comes to doing what God tells us to do? Today, God gives us his instruction through the Word of God. If you're coming from another denomination, and we welcome you for coming to our denomination, which is non-denominational. But what we believe is that 500 years ago, God started a reformation that opened the doors for every person to hear the voice of God through God's word. Today, everyone has an access to the Bible. Can I tell you something? How many of you are bookworms in here? Any bookworms? Bookworms? Okay, join the club. Clearly, we can't start a life group with you guys because we're so little. But if you love reading books, can I tell you something? I love reading books. I love it. If you give me a book, I will be more than happy to devour it. Like, you know, reading wise, not physically, but you know, I'm not Ezekiel here eating scrolls. Okay. What I'm trying to say is that I will read it. I will read it. But what I love about when I don't know what it is in the last year and a half or two, I've grown in love with reading my Bible. And I love my life groups, especially our guys who keep us accountable. They've encouraged me to read my Bible. Before that, there was a habit. You just read it because for the sake of reading it. Now it's not for the sake of reading it. It's now because you want to read it. And can I tell you something? If you're struggling because this is a religious mentality, it's like, I have to read my Bible. I have to read my Bible. I have to read my Bible. God is not looking for you. He's not forcing your hand for a relationship with him. If you're going to read the Bible, you should desire to read the Bible. You should keep your heart in check to read the Bible. And honestly, the best way you know that the Bible is what you need is you need to go through a breaking point at some part of your life. Anyone who's been broken before knows that God comes through with his word at the end. So, today, God has given us his instructions of the scriptures. How many of us actually obey it? By the inspiration the Holy Spirit speaks to us from it. And I'm not saying, okay, go into the book of Leviticus and follow all the laws. I don't want everybody coming next week and like, you know, full out. That's not what I'm trying to say. Okay, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, when you read the scripture, do you read it to appease God in a certain way because you have to read it? Or do you read it till the point something from the text sticks out to you like a sore thumb? Here's my biggest tip for anyone who's struggling to read the Bible. You want to know when God is talking to you? Keep reading it until something sticks out. And cook on it. Cook on it, meaning meditate on it. Put your mind to it. Reflect on it. Keep thinking and thinking and thinking until the Lord begins to speak to you. That's what it means to meditate. And that's when you know God is speaking to you. And when you have God's word coming inside of your life, that's when faith is born. And when you have faith coming inside of your heart, that's when you can obey Him. And when you genuinely obey God, it's not to gain a result from what He said. Sometimes that's how we like to do it. We think if we follow all the things that God has said within the scriptures, we follow it as it is, then this will happen. No, outcome belongs to the Lord. Obedience is our love towards God. If you love God, you will obey. If you're obeying for an outcome, you have an hidden agenda. And God's not dumb. So what is your obedience towards God like? What is the attitude of obedience you have towards God? Is it from love or is it from something else? That could possibly even explain why the wall in front of you that God wants you to break through isn't breaking, because the heart has a greater wall than that one in front. It sure is quiet in this Methodist church, I'm just saying. So that's the first thing we see. There's an attitude of obedience. And let's keep going down that verse. Verse 9. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets. And the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. Isn't it cool if you have like a whole bodyguard for your whole worship team? It's just amazing, you know. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout." You're right, Benji. "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." The whole point is it's not about you in that verse right there. When we're walking, when we're marching forward in an attitude of obedience, it's not about you. Speak when God says you to speak. Keep quiet when God tells you to keep quiet. Wait when God says to wait. Move when God says to move. That's all that matters. Verse 11. So he caused the ark of the Lord. The ark of the Lord in the Old Testament represented the presence of God, to circle the city, going about it once. I think sometimes we should treat our prayer life like that. You should just deep fry everything in the presence of God. I'm using that analogy so that you would think about it like that. Has anyone fried fries here? Has anyone fried fries? Okay. If you want really crunchy deep fries, right? What do? You put it in a hot oil and you leave it in there. And if you want it extra crispy, do it again. Yeah, that's how you get sweet potato fries from A&W. It's really good that way. Do you circle the trouble you are in with the presence of God? Is God, the awareness of God's presence, is it there in the situation you're in? It's very important. We need to keep our life aware of God's presence in everything that we're doing. And the more we are faithful to what God has instructed us, that awareness will increase. The confidence will increase. And so, surround your situation with the presence of God. Verse 12, this is where my next point will come in. Verse 12 to 13. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day they marched around the city once, and return into the camp. So they did for 6 days. The second thing is an attitude of persistence. An attitude of persistence. Sometimes for a season of your life, God will only give you one word, or maybe two words. When I say word, I'm talking about, you know, God will speak through people, God will speak from the scripture text, or maybe God will even inspire in your own mind just one word. I don't know. The Holy Spirit is free to do what He wants. But alongside with marching with obedience, there is an attitude of persistence. You got to understand, this is like a workout plan for the entire team. Literally. Like, talk about the 30-day programs that people give out there. Like, lose 10 pounds in like 4 weeks and, you know, take all these supplements. This is a spiritual workout for these people. And it's not some easy thing. Some of the things that they had to probably battle over is looking ridiculously with a city. See, I don't think, let's just time travel a little bit and go into this text. Let's do a little Matrix situation right now. Okay? We're going into the scene. I don't think any of them knew verse 1 of this chapter, where Jericho was shut up inside because of the people outside. I don't think they're seeing it in that perspective. They're still living in possessing the promised land. Now imagine the amount of doubts they're having. A group of people are in the inside, and guards who are at the top of the castle or at the walls, possibly, I'm imagining they are. We don't know what the structure of the city of Jericho was like, but there are walls, that's for sure. We know that, we see that, okay? They could have been looking at the people, and they're having a perspective, and these people at the bottom are having a perspective, and the worship team is blowing the trumpets, the armmen are holding their swords, and they're moving forward in circles. Nobody has any rest, and they're continuously, persistently pushing forth. They could have given up at any point. I mean, we don't see this team doing any other sort of intense physical labor before that, like this one. Before, it was a battle sort of thing. But now it's a complete different strategic way of handling the situation. And what they need in this time is the script. The beautiful part about this passage right here is that they blew their trumpets continually. They didn't stop. They didn't stop in their attitude of obedience. They didn't stop with the promises of God. Our emotional roller coasters, the mentalities that we go through when we don't see situations working in the way it's supposed to be, that's the test of God's word on your life. When God tells you to do one thing and the situation doesn't look as it's supposed to be, it's a test. Do you believe what God has said about the situation? Do you believe in the word that He has given? This is what it means to walk in faith. Trusting God 100%, knowing that what He has said is true, and there's no negotiations with it. There was this Andrew Garfield movie that recently came out. Well, not recently, but it was a war movie. Does anyone know the name of that movie? Yeah, Hacksaw Ridge. I saw that movie. Ugh, so gory. But what you see in that movie is the guy has a conviction from God that I'm not supposed to kill anything, anybody. And he is tested to his full limit to pick up his pistol. You know, following Jesus is like that. For all those who love reading books or who love reading on their tablets or like watching movies, I want to encourage you to read this book called The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It's a good allegorical narrative. And what John Bunyan, who is an old saint, he wrote it when he was imprisoned in England in the 1600s. And what he writes in that book is talking about what it means to be a Christian in a time frame where you are not allowed to preach, you're not allowed to say the gospel, and you have to keep up with your faith. And he talks about great things about the different temptations in life. Can I tell you something? When you get into God's word, after you come out of your quiet time and you're all in another level, you think Satan wants you to be in this kind of level? No. And in fact, God, he's the director of your life. So he's writing a play, a glorious play, and he says, okay, Satan, now is your part. You got to go in, do your temptation. Okay, you, Joshua, you have to do, that's not what you're supposed to respond to. Listen, we talked about this. We talked about this in our one-on-one time. You're not supposed to react like that. You're not supposed to deal with the situation like that. Yet, how often do we do it? Yeah, I'm guilty of it. That's why I said my name. I didn't say anybody else's name. I'm just saying. But what was the key, though? An attitude of persistence. Do we have an attitude of persistence with God's word? With the instruction God has given us? And finally, let's come down to verse 16 to 21. This is where the battle is beginning. And the seventh time when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Verse 21, "Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword." The last thing we need when it comes to breaking through walls that are standing in the way of God's plan, in the way of the new horizons that God is calling us to step into in our own personal lives, in our ministries, in our families, is we need an attitude of adherence. What I love about this passage is that Joshua gives a very clear-cut instruction about the wall coming down. But then he tells them a couple of things. He says, you got to go save Rahab and her whole family because they helped us out. And then the second thing is, though, when you go inside the city, once the wall is broken through, don't take any of the things there that are devoted to destruction. Just take the silver and the gold. Everything else devoted to destruction. And what we see in verse 21 is that what did they devote to destruction? They devoted lives, source of life, men, women, oxen, sheep, young and old. God's not trying to promote materialism in here. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is that when we break through a certain wall, it's going to be a great breakthrough. You're going to feel a relief. You're going to feel a sense of, you know, Okay, yes, God has broken through. But don't forget who you adhere to. Adherence is devotion. It's another word for devotion. They could have gone in. They could have seen the young men and women. They could have compromised and done it for the same for Rahab and her family. Because later on, we will see that Rahab and all of them join, and we will read through that text. But what did they do? They wiped everything else out. But later on, spoiler alert, we'll see a little bit of a complication of something that Israel does and the consequences of disobedience. When you and I walk with God, when God answers a prayer, when God moves on your behalf way beyond you could have ever imagined, don't forget who you adhere to. At the end of chapter 6, Joshua says this verse, he says, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds the city of Jericho." Can I tell you something? Some of us have had some very serious breakthroughs. And I'm guilty of this too. We've had some very serious breakthroughs. God has healed us from so many things. God has delivered us from so many things. Maybe some relationships that were toxic. Maybe some things, habits and sinful things that we've done. And God broke us through. But we went back and we rebuilt that same wall again. We rebuilt Jericho again. And then we wonder, why are we in the same pickle again? Why are we on the same hamster wheel we just got out of? Because we are rebuilding it. But we have to be like Rahab. You know what's the beautiful thing about Rahab? And I want our communion servers, and I'm going to ask the worship team to get ready as we go into communion, because the next part of the text is much more important even than the message that I just preached. When you really look at why Rahab was saved, it was not just the fact that she... What was the reason of why she hid the spies? Joshua and the people of Israel honored saving Rahab and the whole family. But if you go to chapter 2 of Joshua, we will see something. In chapter 2, verse 8, when the spies had come into the land, this is Rahab's words. She says, "Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you.'" She was God conscious, even though she was not part of the family of God. We need to pray that for our city. If you look at our Canadian context, nobody thinks about God. Nobody thinks about God. Nobody cares about God. But I've been praying for our city that the consciousness of God will come through. When I was a kid growing up in Saudi Arabia, with Joel, Darnell, my family and I, 5 o'clock in the morning, you would hear Muslims praying to their God. Even though they're not praying to the right God, they were God conscious. And if you look at it, God, in His grand mercy, has brought so many from that tribe into His kingdom. Nabil Qureshi was one of them who recently passed away this past year. As we go into communion, let's read from verse 22 to 25, and this is what it says. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze
bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. I'll tell you the reason why Rahab hid the spies. Because in God's sovereign grace and mercy, He put a fear of God inside of her to realize that no walls can really protect her. There is a God higher and above. Here's a question I want to ask you. Are you God conscious of your life, even though whether you're a Christian or you're not? Are you God conscious? And if you are a Christian and you proclaim yourself to be a Christian, are you Christ conscious of your life? Which side of the wall are you on? Are you held captive by Jericho? Are you walking around it to break through it? Maybe tonight what some of you need is you need to make a decision as to who you're going to serve this day. This last 1 hour that I spoke to you is to bring you to this point. You may be facing all kinds of hurdles, and maybe it is a sign from above, just like how God spoke to Rahab when she was in chapter 2, that the Lord is with you. And I want to be on that side. You need to make a decision. Who are you serving today? Do you know that you're separated by God in Christ? Do you know that you're saved by God in Christ? Do you know that you cannot enjoy the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you submit to Him?